Good morning. My name is Celeste, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finances and Public Debt for the First Quarter 2009 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Alejandro Warner, you may now begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I would like to remind those of you from the press that are in the conference call that this is an off-the-record call, as it always has been. Rather than going into the details of the quarterly report, I would like to briefly outline how we're seeing the economy evolving, the main issues that we think should be highlighted in terms of public finances and public debt. As you know, the available information on production for the first quarter of the year shows that we had a huge contraction in December and January. However, after that, for February, we have seen a stabilization of the main indicators of industrial production in the manufacturing sector and also on some indicators in aggregate demand. So basically, although we are expecting a significant fall for the first quarter of around 7%, within the quarter, we are expecting that the data for the last 2 months will show a stabilization of the main economic indicators. Just to highlight, after an extremely sharp monthly fall in manufacturing exports in December, the monthly rate of change has actually, the negative monthly rate of change has fallen significantly towards zero in the months of February and March. Actually, in March, the month-to-month number is actually zero. And something similar has been observed in retail sales when you measure it by ANTAD numbers. Basically, when you look at the seasonally adjusted numbers in December and in March we have seen an increase of around almost 4% what was observed in December. So basically, although at very low levels after the significant drop in activity at the close of last year and the beginning of this year, we have seen a stabilization of economic indicators. I think another important issue to highlight is that the employment numbers have evolved in a more favorable way than what would have been projected by the traditional models that we have that link employment to economic activity in our main sectors. I think that's an important feature to highlight, and that will sustain, hopefully, a slightly better evolution of domestic consumption than the one that would have been projected from our traditional models. Regarding financial market, most asset prices fell until the second week of March. Since then, as international capital markets has recovered and as several actions have been taken to intervene in the foreign exchange market in a much more transparent way, the numbers in our capital account balance and in our balance of payment has been, I think, scrutinized in a much more detailed fashion by the market and understand in a better fashion by the market. And the announcement of the flexible credit line with the IMF and the auction implemented by the central bank, I think, had provided significant support to our financial market in the last few weeks. In spite of the stabilization of economic activity and some tentative signs of recovery in the last few weeks of March, obviously the influenza episode that has, I think, significantly affected Mexico in the last 10 days, and as the numbers have shown recently, have also dropped significantly. I mean, the numbers of new contagion, the number of people that have died of this, I think, has dropped to zero by the end of April. And the main conclusion from this episode now is that we have, I mean, obviously a very efficient treatment, and the rate of contagion has significantly dropped. We think that the effect of this on the economy will be on the lower side of the range we have given, between 0.3 and 0.5% of an additional drop in our rate of growth for the year. And within this, we think that basically those sectors associated with external demand for Mexican services, especially tourism, will be the most affected. However, within tourism, or the broad value added in tourism, that it's around 7% of total GDP, we have to highlight that almost 86% of that is domestic tourism. So in that extent, hopefully the recovery that we will see in Mexico from the influenza episode, given the much shorter nature of the episode, and I would say the smaller effect on external demand, given the high domestic component in tourism, hopefully this will be on the lower range of estimates when people base these estimates on the Asian experience with the SARS epidemic. Turning to public finances, public sector revenues drop due to lower oil prices and a lower level of activity. Total revenues in the quarter were 9% lower than those observed in the first quarter of last year, and 7.6 below the amount expected in the program. This is equivalent to almost 54 billion pesos. However, I mean, this drop vis-a-vis program is clearly manageable, considering obviously the income that we will be receiving in November from the oil hedge, the income that we already got from the earnings, the FX profits that Banco de Mexico had last year, that were around 95 billion, and obviously the resources we have in the oil stabilization funds. Considering revenues from the hedge, the budget revenues would have been only 15 billion pesos below the program amount, and we are expecting that the influenza episode, taking the half a percentage point effect, will have an additional negative effect on our fiscal accounts of around 10 billion pesos. These values, as I said, compare favorably with the exceptional income we have been having from the oil hedge and from the central bank in terms of their results for the year 2008, and obviously the savings that we have in the oil stabilization funds. Consistent with the counter-cyclical fiscal strategy, public expenditures have been front-loaded in a significant manner. Total and programmable expenditures increased by 14 and 24% with respect to the first quarter of last year, and public, budgetary, and foster investment grew by almost 80% and 33% in real terms, showing, I mean, the significant effort that the different parts of the government are doing to front-load spending in 2009 to support aggregate demand throughout the period where we have the more significant effects of the recession on aggregate demand. Turning to public debt policy, I mean, we have been very cautious during the first half of the year in terms of increasing the average duration of our quarterly calendars for the placement of debt in domestic markets, not to overload the markets with duration, given the fragility that we observed at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. I think this strategy, together with the measures implemented in the foreign exchange rate market, had paid off, and we have seen a significant normalization of the behavior of financial markets, especially those related to public sector debt, not only the federal government, but the main enterprises such as Pemex and CFE. So, I mean, we will continue on this line in the second half of the year, I mean, moving towards a renormalization of our quarterly calendars throughout the year, as we announced at the end of last year. At the external front, I mean, the action undertaken were focused on maintaining the country's presence in international market, with the issuance at the beginning of February of a five-year fixed-rate global bond by $1.5 billion. I think an important point to highlight is that, as you already noticed, I mean, the debt to GDP ratios have increased significantly vis-a-vis what we saw at the end of last year. I think it's important to highlight that around between 80 or 90% of this increase is totally explained by the depreciation of the peso and the significant drop of GDP in the last two quarters. So adjusting for those effects, the debt to GDP ratio, I mean the total public sector debt to GDP and the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements to GDP have remained constant in the last 6 months. We also did an exercise in which basically for the last 10 years we kind of isolated the movements in GDP growth vis-a-vis potential, taking a potential rate of growth of 2.5% in these last 10 years, and we maintained the exchange rate, at the real exchange rate, behaving as maintaining purchasing power parity. Doing this, what we observe is basically that the debt to GDP ratio, both in its narrow and more broad measure, have remained constant since the end of 2006, basically showing that the movements that we have seen are reflecting the lower growth rates that we have experienced, especially in 2008 and expected to suffer in 2009, and also, especially in the last 6 months, the depreciation of the currency. So doing this exercise and forecasting a recovery to this normal trend, this normal rate of growth since, let's say, the second half of 2010, we are expecting that our public finance stance will maintain the debt to GDP ratio in the medium terms at the levels we saw at, by the end of 2006. Thank you very much, and now we can turn to the question and answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Benito Berber.
Hi, Alejandro. Good morning. Thank you so much for the call. Just a couple of questions. First, what probability do you assign to raising gasoline prices as a way to increase fiscal revenues? And the second one is, have you noticed any shift in the opposition in regards of opening, you know, more the energy sector to attract private investment as a way to counterbalance economic contraction? Thank you.
Two things. I think the first one, during 2009 we have frozen gasoline prices, and we have maintained our pricing policy for the electricity sector only with the change we did at the beginning of the year by kind of front loading the effect of the decline in input costs, natural gas, coal, etc., on the price of energy by just eliminating the three-month moving average that was implied in the formula for the pricing in 1 month. So in a sense, we reflected the full drop in input costs in January instead of waiting for the January, February, March average to reflect it in the electricity tariff. For 2009, we don't see, as I mentioned before, any pressures on public finances, obviously because we have this exceptional non-recurrent income, and in that sense we are not considering any change in public sector pricing. And I mean, we are not working under any of those assumptions that you mentioned for 2009, for 2010, but obviously for 2010 we will have to be very cautious in the way we build the economic package for that year, so that we maintain the fiscal stimulus, especially in a year in which the output gap will be significantly negative. But at the same side, as I said at the end of my presentation, we maintain a debt to GDP ratio that measured at a relatively normal rate of growth, that is, I would say, conservative, of 2.5 and taking into account these exchange rate movements, maintains our debt to GDP balance in a declining trend. So we are now working on that economic package, and obviously that will be ready and presented to Congress by the 8th of September. And as I said before, with the money we have had from the Bank of Mexico in the oil stabilization funds and from the oil hedge, we feel pretty confident that we can have a strategy to, and as we have talked with you in person, to bridge the financing gaps in 2009 and 2010. The second question, I don't know, Miguel. Well, the opening of the energy sector, I think the best thing to do now is to accelerate the implementation of the energy reform that was approved last year. I think thinking of a 12-month horizon from now until a full recovery back to potential GDP growth sometime during 2010, let's say in the second half of 2010, I mean, there is no legal change that would be implemented in the ordinary session of Congress, let's say from September to November, that would have an impact, an immediate impact in GDP growth in 2010. I think what is very important are two things. First, that we implement as quickly as possible the energy reform, the new contracts to attract a much higher level of investment in deep waters and in Chicontepec. During 2009 and 2010, we start the transformation of Pemex with respect to its corporate governance, and on the other hand, continue the pace of structural reforms in Congress. It can be in the energy sector, in the labor sector, or in some of the other sectors in which legal impediments actually significantly hamper the rate of growth of the Mexican economy. But I wouldn't highlight any sector in particular at this point.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, James Berenu.
Alejandro, given the fiscal revenue shortfall in the first quarter, can you just tell us how that might affect debt issuance for the next couple of quarters going forward? And also, how much money is in the oil stabilization fund today, and how much do you anticipate will be in it at the end of 2009?
Yeah, I'll be quick, and then I'll turn it over to Gerardo and Miguel. Basically, given that the shortfall in revenues, it's as I said in my presentation, just making a very quick calculation, taking into account the money that we will have from the oil stabilization fund by the end of the year, the shortfall drops to 15 billion pesos. Just, I mean, extending that throughout the year will give us a shortfall that is significantly below what we have in the oil stabilization fund, plus the money that the Bank of Mexico already gave us. We are not anticipating that this shortfall should have any implications on the debt issuance for the year, because it's, let's say, fully funded, or it could be fully funded by the money we have in the oil stabilization funds and the money we receive from the central bank. However, I mean, given the way the markets have evolved in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think our view with respect to our debt issuance for the second half of the year has turned a little bit more optimistic, and I think Gerardo can talk a little bit more on that. And on the oil stabilization funds, I think Miguel can talk about that.
Jim, for 2009 as a whole, given that our fiscal targets will be achieved, as Alejandro mentioned, we're not planning to make any additional changes based on the revenue shortfall that was reported in our quarterly report. The only adjustments that we are looking forward to do which are based on the market evolution going forward, is just the mix of instruments that we are issuing right now in the markets. As you know, we reduce substantially the amount of issuance in the medium and long end of the curve, and we increased the CETES issuance. Gradually, we are expecting to continue reverting that so that we can get towards the end of the year to a similar issuance pattern as the one we had prior to the adjustment back in October of last year. We already did some of that in the first quarter and also in the second quarter by increasing the 10-year auctions. However, going forward, everything will depend on how we see the markets evolving. As Alejandro mentioned, we're seeing some positive signs. We're going to wait and see how things evolve towards June, which is when we announce the third quarter issuance schedule, and based on that, we'll make any adjustments if markets allow us to.
Regarding the oil stabilization funds, at the end of the first quarter of the year, we have close to 88 billion pesos in the federal government stabilization fund, and we have about 64 billion pesos in the fund to support a pension system restructuring. So we're talking of close to 152 billion pesos. In addition to that, there are close to 30 billion pesos in Pemex Stabilization Fund, which Pemex will be using for investment this year, and close to 30 billion pesos in the Stabilization Fund for state governments. In terms of its use, basically, we're anticipating that at the end of the year, the levels will end up for the stabilization funds of the federal government, this 152 billion pesos, we're anticipating that they're going to end up at a very similar level. Why is this? Because in spite of, we're still going to be using close to, let's say, 10 billion pesos from resources from the funds, but those are basically matched more or less with the flows that go into the funds associated with a particular right that is charged on oil exports that goes to the oil stabilization fund. So during the year, we might end up using a little bit more or less from that fund, but overall, we're not anticipating to use a significant amount of resources from the oil stabilization funds and rather have them for 2010 if necessary.
Our next question comes from the line of Luis Arcentales.
Yes. One quick question. The Minister Carstens announced that stimulus package yesterday worth around 17 billion pesos, and at the same time said that Mexico was going to use the around 2.5 billion in loans from the World Bank and Inter-American Development Bank. Are those related anyway? How do you how are you going to use these 2.5 billion if you're going to use them? And if you could write some color on that, Miguel or Alejandro. Thank you.
Okay, I think the two things are completely unrelated. I mean, one has to do, I would say, with our funding policy. And the minister said that, I don't know what exactly he said, but from the World Bank, we are planning to draw around $5 billion during 2009. And I think on Friday of last week, the IDB announced that they had reviewed our program for the year 2009, and we will be, basically working towards a program of $3 billion lending to Mexico for 2009. So basically, this will be a program of approximately $8 billion for the year. Those are the announcements that the IDB made, and the World Bank has told us, and we have negotiated with the World Bank, and that's basically very similar, and I think on the slightly upper end of the range that we have talked to you when we were in New York in some investor trips during January, and that's fully in compliance with our funding policy for 2009. On the other hand, the stimulus package that the minister announced yesterday basically is a stimulus package comprised of two parts. One, he said that basically almost one third of the drop in activity will be absorbed, right, which maybe 25% of the hit in business will be absorbed some in different ways by the government through the automatic decline in revenues that we will be suffering. We will be suffering a drop in revenues of around $10 billion, and that's, let's say, the first component of the shock that is absorbed by the government through the drop in revenues. And then there were some specific measures. One was the monthly crediting of provisional payments of yet to vis-a-vis the income tax. That was a credit that firms actually undertake at the end of the year when they actually present their yearly statement in terms of taxes. Now we will allow them to do a cut month by month, and if they have some yet to credit to the income tax, they can do that. That for the year 2009 will cost us 2 billion pesos. However, that's basically something that they would have been crediting in 2010, but for fiscal year 2009 represents an estimated 2 billion shortfall. Then we announced that we will give a 20% discount on the contribution that firms pay to the Instituto Mexicano del Seguro Social, and we cap that discount at 35,000 pesos per firm, basically benefiting 90% of the firms, all the medium and small size enterprises in Mexico. That will cost us around other $2.2 billion. And then we announced several measures to support several funds to support the promotion of tourism to Mexico in the next couple of months and throughout the year, to have a much quicker recovery of tourism from this episode of influenza. Then we also propose some important measures to reduce the charges that we made to airlines in the next 3 months in terms of the rights they pay for the use of the airspace, and something similar for the ships that bring tourists to Mexico. We have also give a significant discount in the rights they pay to Mexican ports when they arrive. And then we have an important contribution to our development banks of around 2.2 billion pesos to provide at least 10 billion pesos of lending to the most affected sectors in the economy, the service sector, tourism, the airline industry, and the agricultural sector, those industries that have had some negative effect from this episode. So that's the package that the minister announced yesterday, and basically that will have a slightly, obviously, negative effect on the fiscal result for 2009 that will be accommodated with the exceptional revenues that I have mentioned, and maybe with some use of the resources from the stabilization funds as the margin, as Miguel just mentioned.
Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from the line of Alfredo Thorne. Mr. Thorne, your line is open.
Hello, Alex. Good morning. Two questions on the influenza outbreak. How much more money are you getting from the World Bank and the IDB on the emergency loans? Apparently something was announced, but I didn't get the details. And the second is, Agustin this morning in a TV program announced that there will be an upside risk on the fiscal deficit, and he mentioned that the fiscal deficit can be between around 2% instead of the 1.8 that you have in the program. Can you go in the details and tell us what's the risk on that forecast? Thank you.
Yeah, there. Regarding the World Bank, basically the World Bank announced during the spring meetings that they were giving us, let's say, two exceptional loans. One was a quick disbursing loan of $25 billion that has already been granted to help the Ministry of Health to undertake, I think, some quick expenditures that they might need to attend the emergency. And then it was a $180 million loan to actually build the institutional capacity to deal with this episode, to be to strengthen our health institutions to monitor and to address these type of episodes, and the possibility of let's say a recovery of this virus sometime during 2009 or 2010, and we're working on that loan. I mean, so that would be a $180 million loan, making a total of slightly more than $200 million. However, I mean, the total loan program for the year with the World Bank will be around $5 billion for the year. And as I said before, with the IDB, we're working on a program of $3 billion for the year. Regarding what Minister Carstens said this morning in a TV show, I guess that he mentioned that this program that I just mentioned, that sums up to around 17 billion pesos, 10 billion of those of foregone income due to lower economic activity, and 7 billion of those associated to specific measures. What he said is that we are not going to do any exceptional action on the expenditure side to reduce expenditure, or on the income side to compensate for the shortfall. So by the end of this year, there is the possibility that if all the program is actually implemented fully, instead of having a 1.8% of GDP deficit, we have, let's say, a 1.95% percent of GDP deficits associated with this. To the extent that sometimes there are under execution of some programs, etc., maybe this amplification of the budget deficit that is extremely small will be compensated by that. But what I'm pretty sure he said is basically that we won't be doing any specific effort to compensate that, either through a reduction in expenditure or compensating measures on the income side in 2009. Obviously, as we have talked with you, and basically on the preparations of the 2010 budget, we will be laying out a very clear, a very transparent strategy by which, as I said in my presentation, the public finances looked with a medium-term perspective, let's say with 2010 and 2011, in mind, will be fully consistent with a stable debt-to-GDP ratio throughout this period.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Jania Zugina.
Hi, thank you. I have a simple clarification question on the use of, on the accounting of the use of the stabilization funds. Does that money get registered in any given year's budget as a revenue for that year? In other words, if you have a deficit of because of the measures of the package you just described, the deficit goes from 1.8 to 1.95, but you decide to use stabilization funds money to cover for that gap, does the resulting deficit get registered as 1.8 or 1.95?
If we use resources from the stabilization funds, those would appear as an income this year, matched by sort of to cover for the shortfall in revenues and whatever increase in expenditures we have. So in that sense, you're right, if we actually did that and used resources for the stabilization funds to cover for these measures,
they would not be registering as an additional deficit. We would continue to have the 1.8% that is expected. Yes? Operator?
Yes, sir. Is she complete with her question?
Yeah.
Okay. And we have no further questions at this time.
Could you ask one last time if anybody has an additional question?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's star one. And you have a question from Pedro Tuesta?
Pedro Tuesta. Is there any limit for the how much can be used for the from the stabilization fund in a given year?
There is a limit which depends on the amount of the maximum reserve limit of the fund for the use of resources within the fund. In a sense, the fund, the stabilization fund is divided into two accounts. One account has to do with the level of minimum reserves, and then there is an account for financial returns on the fund. There's no restriction for the use of financial returns of the fund. There is a limit for the amount that we can use of the basic reserve of the fund. Nevertheless, given that we increased the level of the fund in a very important way as part of the reform that was done last year to the federal responsibility law, for practical terms, this year we could end up using all the resources in the fund if that was required, which is obviously something that we're not anticipating to do. In fact, we're thinking that if at all, we would have to use minimal resources from the fund.
And what about 2010?
Well, in 2010, those limits, as Miguel said, will be there, and we will, depending on how the budget is set up, depending on oil platform and depending on the price of oil, those limits that basically are a function of these variables will be reviewed. But as Miguel said, I think now the limit of the fund is how much?
It's about 87 billion pesos.
And the fund has this more than 87 billion pesos because on top of this, it has some financial returns that it has gotten in the past from the money that has been deposited in there. So for next year, basically, the use of the money in the fund will be specified in the budget program that we send for 2010. And what we can do for 2010 is basically send a package that lays out a strategy in terms of the use of the resources of the fund and in terms of medium-term measures with respect to expenditure and income, as I said before, will put us in a trajectory in which the debt-to-GDP ratio will remain stable throughout this period. That's the strategy, and if we need an authorization from Congress to, let's say, use a slightly larger amount of resources from the fund, or we will tell Congress that we need to use a smaller percentage of them than the one that is authorized, that will be actually evaluated in the program that we will be sending to Congress in September of this year. But what is important is we feel that with the money we have in the fund and some small adjustment in the structure of expenditures and with some efficiency efforts on the revenue side, we feel that we can have a package, a fiscal package for 2010 that puts us exactly on the trajectory that I just mentioned.
Thank you very much, sir.
And we have a follow-up question from the line of Luis Arcentales.
Yes, two questions. An easy one, the FX profit from Banxico that you mentioned, 95 billion, is that a one-off transfer? And the second one, if you could comment broadly on developments on the corporate sector, how you're you know, you've been facilitating some of the talks with some of the large corporates that are restructuring or trying to restructure their debt. How are you seeing the developments on that front?
I mean, we're expecting Banco de Mexico's profit obviously to be of a non-recurrent nature, as I said before, because, I mean, these camps, as you know, if you take a look at the balance sheet of the central bank, it has a significant amount of foreign exchange rate reserves, and it has liabilities in pesos. So given the large depreciation of the currency during 2008, obviously it presented a very important revenues that were exceptional, and obviously we think these are of a non-recurrent nature, as I just mentioned before. So we are not expecting to have another transfer from Banco de Mexico in 2010 of this nature. However, on average, obviously a central bank should be transferring a much lower level of profits to the government, assuming that it should be generating some average profitability with a medium-term perspective. But obviously this huge transfer is just a once and for all effect, and we are in no way expecting that this thing will be a recurrent transfer. The second thing with respect to the corporate debt, as we have talked with you in the past, basically we are, as you said, facilitating negotiations between Mexican corporates and their creditors, and also to the extent that many of those firms are solvent and are facing a liquidity crisis, we have been granting some loans that are fully guaranteed and are of a small nature vis-a-vis the debt level of some of these companies from our development banks. I think the talks between debtors and creditors on this issue have been progressing in very favorable trend. As you know, Gruma concluded a significant part of concluded the negotiations with a very significant part of their creditors associated with the derivatives transactions that they undertook last year. With respect to Cementos Mexicanos, I think the market has been very up to date with what has been the progress in the negotiations between CEMEX and the main creditor banks, and I think those have progressed, or at least that the market has seen, I think, a very important progress in those negotiations. I think there's a standstill from the creditors, and the negotiations are going on for a medium-term solution or a medium-term restructuring of their liabilities. And I think those are the most important. The other one is Comercial Mexicana, that I think also is moving on the right direction in terms of closing the negotiations between the company and its three types of creditors, the ones associated with the derivative transactions, those banks that had loans with the company, and the bondholders. I think that's progress in good terms. I don't know, maybe Gerardo has some additional information on these issues.
Well, as you know, also just to complement briefly on the derivatives side, everything has been closed, and there isn't anything of important nature gravitating in the market place. There is still some pending issues on the Gruma side, as they reported recently, but it is on a very small scale. And what we would expect is that over the next few weeks, we have some positive news on the pending issues that have been out there. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Very helpful.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one. And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, and we will be available through our website or in our offices to get your calls
if you have any remaining doubts. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's report on public finances and public debt for the first quarter 2009 conference call. You may now disconnect.